The Warriors have themselves a winning streak, folks, and we're going to break it all down. It's Friday Night Live. Kylan Mills, myself, Cyrus Zotzes. The Warriors are above 500. I guess we're celebrating. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills, also Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me, Cyrus Sauces, on Twitter at Dog Surf Roadshow. Kylan, first of all, and this goes for everyone out there, the Warriors PR Twitter account, when following home games, they publish an old school box score. It's the paper ones that they give the press at games. I absolutely love these things. To me, it's the best way to read what happened in a game on just a single page. So it's available. Kylan, how are you doing? And your first reaction to the Warriors now having a two-game winning streak after a beautiful win, a solid win against the Raptors.
Yeah, I'm excited, Cyrus. I mean, it's about time the Warriors won two straight. I think that, honestly, they're playing some of their best basketball, and they have in the last couple weeks, and that's a huge positive because going into the second half of the season, they needed this. Now, being a game above 500 is far from where they need to be, but luckily for us, the West is wide open, and you know, there's still plenty of time. There's plenty of basketball yet to be played. On this win in particular, so every night to me for the Warriors is the Steph Curry show. But in reality, it was the Dante DiVincenzo show. I love the fact that he was mic'd up. I really enjoyed that because I think DiVincenzo is super likable. He seems like a great teammate, great energy, and he put up great numbers tonight. He's a pass-first guard. I really like that about him because he's focused on playmaking and setting up teammates, and the Warriors already have a lot of scorers. So that's the exact role that they need, and I think he just provides such a spark in the second unit. And when you look at the stat line, you know, 12 points, 11 assists, a double-double in addition to three rebounds, two steals, and the best plus-minus on the team with plus 24. I mean, there's a lot to be happy about with the pickup of Dante DiVincenzo this offseason. And then, you know, there's this guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Steph Curry had a cool 35 points, 11 assists. He also had a double-double of his own. Yeah, you know, all-star starter. Who's he?
I believe this was his ninth. Is it his ninth All-Star game or ninth All-Star? I think it's his ninth All-Star selection, seventh All-Star starting nod, which is a Warriors record. Rick Barry second with five. I just want to add, first of all, Dante DiVincenzo, I really hope they give him a contract extension, please. I've been pleading for months. Lock him down because his contract right now is a player option for $4.5 million next year. He's not going to accept that. He can get a lot more in the open market, and the Warriors need to pounce. Sooner the better, please. I love Dante DiVincenzo. You're absolutely right. Him talking about the feds and referring to him being mic'd up. He's like, I'm part of the feds. And then the Warriors are now 20-10 on the year when DiVincenzo and Jonathan Kuminga plays. What were your thoughts about Kuminga? I'll read a stat line real quick. 15 points. For some reason, the rebounding number just never is just never like a thing for him to highlight. Like he had zero tonight, which is just doesn't make sense at all. But he was aggressive and he had that 4 3-pointers in a row streak. I love his shooting form. I just love Kuminga. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Kuminga played really aggressive and confident, and that's huge for him. I love to see the way his game is developing because early on in the season, he struggled. He stuck with it. He really emphasized defense, and, you know, something Steve Kerr said is that the offense will come for Jonathan Kuminga when he's not forcing it, when he's focusing on defense and using that to be a catalyst for the offense. And he's now finally in a place where he's hitting his stride in the attack. You know, he had one move where he had like a really nice pump fake going up to the basket. I think he's really dangerous around the rim. You know, he adds some verticality for the Warriors. I thought he looked great. He had some great finishes, you know, and I just think he needs to continue to do that. Another thing that was really impressive just in general about the Warriors. And Jonathan Kuminga had two turnovers, I think it was, which actually isn't bad. It was just the Warriors limiting turnovers tonight was something that I thought was really big. 12 turnovers for them is not bad, given the way they turn the ball over and how quickly they move the ball up the floor, how quickly the ball flies around to different hands. And tonight, the ball was moving. 40 assists, 12 turnovers, I think, is a great stat line. Jonathan Kuminga was a huge part of that. I think he's getting a lot smarter, making better decisions. And then again, the offense is starting to just flow and come naturally for him.
What did you think? I didn't notice this. I watched the whole game, and for some reason, it didn't stick out to me, but I'm looking at the play-by-play sheet right now, and it's confirmed, at least from what I'm reading, that Jordan Poole didn't finish the game. The why of that, I don't know. His stat line, he played 24 minutes, which is a little less than he normally plays. It's below his average. He had a bad night, 9 points, 1 for 3 from beyond the arc. Did I miss something? Did he get hurt? He didn't finish the game. That alone is really bizarre to me. You mentioned his turnover number wasn't that high. He had 3 for tonight, which by his standards is low. What am I missing here? What happened? Do you know?
I don't know. No, I didn't. If he got hurt, that's news to me. And obviously, since we're on here, I'm not listening to post game.
I listened. I didn't hear. I listened to some of it. I didn't hear them say anything. That's bizarre. Like, it's like the Kerr finally. It reaches limit. Rebel the Sounds writes, Poole took a light tonight. D writes, he started with a band on his forearm. Andre writes, he got benched. Yeah, that's weird. I'm curious to see what happened there. Joe writes, he's in the doghouse now because of the mouthpiece ejection incident. What were your thoughts on that, by the way, Kylan? I hosted a bonus show today to talk about the whole Bob Myers thing, and we could definitely get into that if you want. It'd gone on all week without the subject being touched. I'm losing my train of thought here, though, because this whole Jordan Poole thing is like just flummoxed me.
I don't know. Maybe Steve Kerr was trying to teach Jordan Poole a lesson, or maybe he is fed up. I mean, some of the decision-making in crunch time, and it's something I've talked about on the show before, is a concern for me with Jordan Poole. He's still a young player. There's still plenty of time for him to refine that, but he needs to start getting better, and he needs to start making improvements, because it's been a theme to me all season that when they do have him in at the end of the game, he's making careless mistakes and on the verge of making costly mistakes. I mean, the other night, thank goodness things didn't go a different way after Steph got ejected, because
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. What were your thoughts were like on the ejection and Steph's reaction? I mean, it's like someone was tweeting, for example, and I saw in the chat when I was doing the show with Dana that like people were comparing Jordan Poole to the annoying little brother, right? Like they love him, but he just pushes buttons and he's just annoying. Well, however you define that. Is that a fair assessment? What are your thoughts on what happened that night? Yeah, expand, please. I'm starting to
interrupt you. I mean, first of all, that was just to start the whole ejection scene playing out. That was a terrible shot from Jordan Poole. Like, why, with that amount of time left, are you chucking that ball up from so deep? It's not a good shot. And I think in general, like, his shot selection in late game situations needs to get better. And so first of all, like, I understand Steph's frustration, like, or as a teammate around him, like, that was not the right decision to make. And I think that Jordan Poole has struggled with that a little bit. In regards to the actual call and Steph being ejected, I was super disappointed. I actually tweeted out that it was trash, only because, and maybe that was a little bit of an extreme reaction, but only because, like, yes, based on the letter of the law of what the rule is, you are supposed to be ejected from the game when you throw something into the stands, the fans, whatever. But I do feel like this instance didn't necessarily reflect the spirit of the rule and the intention of the rule and what actual type of situations that it is attempting to control. And to me, if I'm a fan sitting in the stands and Steph's mouth guard flies up and lands in front of me, I'm having the best night of my life.
Right.
You know, like, and he was mad at a teammate. So I don't know. I mean, that's my frustration with the rule. I think the rule could be better refined by maybe specifying intent in the rule, or, you know, if something gets thrown and hits someone, or if a player is getting into it with a fan, if they are intending to throw something at the fan. I mean, to me, like, Steph Curry does this thing where he just throws it kind of up in the air aimlessly. It's not like he's like whipping it at someone in the crowd. I don't know. So it's an unfortunate call. I get the rule's the rule.
Yeah.
Although we're talking about Steph Curry. So it's just frustrating in regards to, you know, when you look at across the league, the way rules are applied, stars get more leeway because at the end of the day, the fans pay to see those players play in the game, not to sit out. And fans pay to see those players, you know, make magic happen on the court. And to me, in that really tight game with the Grizzlies and Warriors, I wanted to see Steph Curry and Ja Morant going at it. And I wanted to see how that played out with the two of the best players in the league on the floor. So that's the other frustrating part of it is just, you know, based on the way the game was going and what you want to see in quality at the end, you just hate to see Steph Curry be ejected on his first technical because he wailed his mouth guard up in the air. So, you know, it is what it is, but I'm glad the Warriors responded, and I tweeted this out, that I'm really glad that Jordan Poole responded by, you know, making that layup. Because if he hadn't, then a lot of eyes would have been on him, and there would have been a lot of heat on him as well.
With you, 100%. And I just want to quickly highlight this post from Ward71784, who writes, if you watch that game, you can see he was being cooked by Van Vliet. Van Vliet was, yeah, he was on fire in the fourth quarter, especially. Dante did a better job on staying in front of Fred. So there you go. Jordan Poole's a defensive liability. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. It just, the whole thing was a shocker to me. I'm just so accustomed to Jordan Poole just being in there at the end. It just, that's how routine that is for me that it did not stick out. I don't think it stuck out to you either, Kylan, right? I mean, I don't think either of us were really like made aware of it until someone wrote it. And then I was like, whoa, he didn't finish the game. That is bizarre. I mean, but look, I love Dante DiVincenzo. Well, we'll talk about him and so much more in just a moment after we give some love to LinkedIn, a website, an app, whatever you want to call it. It's insanely resourceful for job seekers and for small businesses who want to hire someone and they're looking for talent. It's not easy to find talent. Kylan, I was telling the audience on the earlier show tonight, I'm even going back on LinkedIn because, Santa, dude, there's a crisis in higher education right now with enrollment figures, and I literally lost classes. Like, that's my livelihood, man. It's crazy. So I'm about to go back on LinkedIn to find some opportunities myself, and it's a phenomenal place to find work just because all the headhunters are out there. Anyone looking, anyone seeking, they're all there. LinkedIn is the spot, and for individuals like hiring managers, small business owners, that is where you can find your talent. There's over 875 million accounts on LinkedIn. That's how many people are using the app. That's about a seventh of the planet, an eighth of the planet. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Right here, Gil PV Finn writes, is Kylan the voice on the intro? Kylan, do you want to answer that?
No, I am not, but I'll take that as a compliment because I feel like the voice in the intro sounds good.
Very good. No, you're great calling that. That is that. And just to let people know that we've been asked this before, that's the voice for all of Locked On. So that is like the voice for our entire network. But Kylan, no, you're killing it. I've been following your action, doing play-by-play, studio hosting for the Pac-12, San Jose State. Kudos. Bravo.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you're also working your ass off, so thanks for being here. Like, how many hours are you working a week right now? Like, this last week, how many hours did you put in? Did you count?
It's up and down, but I think I told you last week I had, like, five games, and I end up with five games in 5 days. So this week, two games this weekend, thank goodness. I've got one tomorrow, and I actually have Sunday off, so I will be watching the 49ers Sunday. Go Niners! I want to see them go to the Super Bowl. We can talk about that another time. But I just want to throw that out there.
Well, good. I'm actually glad you brought that up because we can quickly mention that after this show, we're going to go to the Krug show where I'm sure they're talking Niners. So For those of you watching the live stream right now, yeah, the party's going to continue on. We're just going to migrate from here to the Krug Show, our friend Larry Krueger and his band of Misfits. A few chat posts here I wanted to drop real quick. It had something to do with Jordan Poole finishing games and forcing people to drink alcohol and but I can't see it anymore. So never mind. What did you think about Steph? We talked about him a little bit. Again, he got ejected last game. He got named a starter yet again. I believe his seventh selection as a starter, his ninth overall selection in the All-Star game. Kylan, your reaction to yet another dominating performance by one of the greatest to ever play this game.
Oh, God, hold on. My ESPN just randomly started playing a video.
There's no audio this time, so you're good.
Well, it just like it made me panic for a second because, you know, you've got all these tabs up here and I'm like, oh, God, which one just started making noise? And then, of course, it was the ESPN tab that I have up with the box score. Okay. So Steph Curry, what more is there to say about Steph Curry? I mean, that's the same thing, Cyrus. I'm glad that he's playing better because I will say in late game situations specifically, I feel like since coming back from his injury, he's been shaky and you can point to some of his performances recently. Tonight, I thought it was a different story. I thought he looked much more sure-handed, made better decisions down the stretch. I think some people are pointing out in the personnel or in the chat, some people are pointing out, I like the personnel that we're playing late in this game. I like Dante DiVincenzo closing games because he makes good decisions with the basketball. He's high IQ and he puts the ball in the right places and into the right hands versus, I hate to say it, but a Jordan Poole. So I like that change. I think that Steph playing the last seven plus, a little bit of an extended minutes late in the game, was a positive because he was playing well and I thought he played well. You know, I will say though, like I said, I feel like late game situations, Steph has been a little off leading up to this, but I thought tonight was back to the Steph Curry we all know and love. I think Dante DiVincenzo closing the game with him was an excellent decision as well. And that's the reason why the Warriors pulled this out, because the Raptors stuck around and, you know, they were keeping it a close game until midway through the fourth quarter. And, you know, what else is there to say about Steph Curry and his skill set though? Because, you know, he's just dominant.
Yeah. But I think Dante DiVincenzo deserves the attention, the accolade. But also Ray wrote earlier tonight, I highlighted this for when we could read it. Ray writes, the Warriors can only play Dante, the TPMLE, what is that? The something mid-level exception. I'm drawing a blank on what the TP is right now. But which will be about $7 million a year. I'm going to do my research on that, but something tells me you are correct because Bobby Portis was in a similar situation with the Bucks where he signed, a portion of the mid-level exception, which I know Dante DiVincenzo, that's where his $4.5 million came from, was a mid-level exception. And I also know that granting extensions to that caused limitations. There also might be a situation where they might have to wait until after the season, past a certain date, so maybe they can offer more. I'm going to do some research on that. Or Kylan, if you find it, one of us will you know, reveal that in regards to his contract situation. But I think there is some truth to that. And hopefully that, by the way, will not be a severe issue in terms of resigning him, because his value is gold right now. He has been such a massively huge addition to this team. And again, alongside Kuminga, they're 20-10 when those two players play. There's a good reason for that. Kuminga is lighting it up as well. Kylan, what are your thoughts on Alex Caruso? Actually, I want to save that. I'll present the question when we come back. You'll answer it so we can tease it up. But there have been reports. I forgot the reporter's name who's with NBC Sports Chicago. And he's now reported this twice, that his sources are telling him that the Warriors are one of two teams currently in the mix for Alex Caruso. We also heard that soundbite. And I can replay that, Kylan, if you haven't heard it yet, where Steve Kerr was on with Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto and almost had like a Freudian slip of sorts regarding James Wiseman basically admitting that he may not be here for long. And it was a crazy slip. It sounded like a slip up to me, but it really revealed possibly what they're thinking, which is that he might be on the trading block. So when we come back, I'm going to get Kylan's thoughts on Alex Caruso maybe coming to the Warriors. I personally love the idea. Maybe I'm totally wrong, and we'll hear what Kylan has to think after I give some love to FanDuel, a brand new sponsor of Locked On Warriors, and they even got their own overlay. Let me get that real quick here. Where are you, FanDuel? There we go. So, FanDuel, again, you know you made it when FanDuel is sponsoring you and your network. And this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. Again, that's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57. Let's hope the Niners are in there with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. Kylan, this is our moment to talk about this game for a minute. The Niners are 2.5-point underdogs to the Philadelphia Eagles. Brock Purdy has been our boy. What do you think is going to happen this Sunday in Philly? 12 o'clock kickoff.
I think the Niners are going to take it. I'm hammering the Niners as underdogs. I think this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Brock Purdy doesn't even need to play, to me, like amazing. He just needs to play good enough because there are so many weapons around him. And the Niners defense is outstanding. So that's my take.
There you go. And I hope you're right. I'm cautiously optimistic. If the Niners win this game, Brock Purdy is the next franchise QB. They haven't had one since Steve Young, folks. So I'm stoked on that. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, super easy to use. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Oh, I got to read this. Okay, here we go. 21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable. Sportsbook bonus bets, which expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG or COIAMINJOHPAILTNVA. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York, 800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Woo!
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I got to get a recorded version of that. So that's wild. Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. I've lost my voice from an ad read. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Kylan Mills. Alex Caruso to the Warriors. Your thoughts, Kylan?
So here's the thing. I don't know that Alex Caruso would be enough help to what the Warriors need. I've been saying all season they need reinforcements in a big, and I feel like Alex Caruso's skill set is very similar to Dante DiVincenzo's. Also, this lineup is already loaded with guards, or it's guard heavy. And especially with Anthony Lamb quickly approaching that 50-game limit, and they've looked at him to really help supply some size, even though he's not huge by any means. You know, the Warriors aren't a big team. When he can't play anymore, if he's not available in the postseason because they don't end up signing him to a full deal, what is the other option? And I just don't see how adding, and like, I like Alex Caruso's skill set. I think he could help the Warriors, but I just don't think that's exactly what they need, or what they need, maybe, I feel like what the most pressing need is, you know, and like I said, I don't know. A couple people brought it up in the chat too. And I do feel like he is kind of similar. He's not a scorer. He's good at sharing the basketball. He's a great defender. But I also think Dante DiVincenzo is kind of a great defender. And the Warriors already have too many guards. Like Moses Moody is struggling to get time because, you know, the Warriors are pretty guard heavy when healthy. And obviously they've dealt with some injuries recently and in the last month or two. But when they're fully healthy, there's already guys struggling, I don't know, just struggling to get minutes. And to me, add a big, like, I just feel like I'm a broken record at this point because I keep talking about it, but I just feel like add someone who adds size.
Yeah. But we got to be realistic here, right? Because they're not going to do that. It would absolutely blow my mind if the Warriors went out there and actually got a center. Do you really think they will do that? Like in the realm of reality, want is one thing. We've kind of thrown logic out the window this year with the Warriors. So in terms of their reality, do you really think there's any hope of them making a trade for that? Because I certainly don't.
For a big, I mean, I don't know. I don't see them making any trades in general. I mean, even Caruso, the report is out there. So KC Johnson is the guy with NBC Sports Chicago who put this report out there. And it also included that the Bulls were allegedly or supposedly looking for two, at least, first round picks. And
good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, so that's, I was going to say, that's my exact reaction is I don't see the Warriors biting on that. If that's what the Bulls are looking for, I don't see them, you know, seeing eye to eye. And if the Bulls aren't willing, I don't think there's any way they'd be willing to just go one for one with like a Wiseman, Moody, you know what I mean? Like they'd have to give up more. And supposedly they want not one, but two first round picks. And I just don't see that being worth it for the Warriors. I don't see the Warriors biting on that. And so for that reason, I also don't know that this trade would happen either. So if the Warriors make a move like that, I would be surprised.
Yeah. Here's why I not only, and I like it, we're going to agree to disagree here. Here's not only why I think Caruso would be a great pickup. I also think it's within the realm of reality. Kylan, I want to play this soundbite for you real quick. It's going to take me 1 second to find it, but I have to play this again because, you know what? I got to play this soundbite first. So this is Steve Kerr tonight. Sorry to interrupt real quick our flow, but this was Steve Kerr tonight explaining why he did not play James Wiseman.
That's something I wanted to talk about. So yeah, cue that up.
Yeah, so let's get up to this.
We haven't gotten to it yet, but I think that's interesting. I want to hear what he has to say.
Agreed. So here is a Kerr.
Steve, with Kevon Looney in foul trouble, and as you cycle through a few players at the five, how come James Wiseman wasn't a part of that cycle?
We just decided to go with Jermichael. We thought about going with Wise, but Jermichael's been playing well in the last few games, and so we gave him those minutes. But James could find himself out there next game. You know, it's just day to day, and he's just got to stay ready.
That's crazy. Yeah, your thoughts, Kylan?
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, basically, that was Kareth Burke with NBC right here in the Bay Area who asked that question, recognized her voice. And I think it's interesting because I agree with the point she brought up, Looney getting into foul trouble, Looney getting yanked with four. I am surprised they didn't let James Wiseman give some run just to add some rim protection. And even if it was just a little, you know, sporadic run or short run, I was surprised. I think that Wiseman, I mean, there's no question to me Wiseman is a higher ceiling, but I think that he deserves the opportunity over Jermichael Green at this point. Like, I think why not give Wiseman a shot? He's this young player you've supposedly been trying to develop. And then I also think if you're not going to play James Wiseman in these types of games or situations, then send him to the G League, like send him back. And I kind of thought about that when Moses Moody got assigned to the G League this weekend. And, you know, if Wiseman's not playing either, then send Wiseman down to get some minutes, because I think for Moses Moody, confidence and reps are the two most important things he needed. And I think the same thing goes with Wiseman. The more reps he gets, the better. And to me, if you're not going to play him in situations like this, or if you're not going to play him in general, if he's not in the rotation, then send him to the G League and let him play, let him run. But I would like to see Wiseman get some minutes and see what he can do. I mean, he had that extended streak in the G League. He came back and then he dealt with injuries. And now that he's back and healthy and available, like, get him some time. I want to see what he can bring to the table.
Yeah. Here's that. Yeah, I totally agree, especially with Moody. And when you have the choice between either letting him rot on the bench or playing for your G League squad that is there to develop your players, I think the choice is obvious. This is the soundbite I want to play real quick, and we'll finish the show on this note. This was Kerr again with Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on their show. They are so lucky to get Kerr on that program weekly or biweekly. I can't remember what it is, but here is Steve Kerr talking about just Wiseman's future with the team.
Do you owe it to James Wiseman to either start playing him or trade him?
I think that's a fair question. You know, one of the things that I tell James from time to time is I feel bad for him because of the circumstances. He's had a tough go with the injuries. The injuries have definitely set him back. But bottom line is he's a really talented young guy playing on a veteran team. So he's in a situation where he's not getting as many reps and as much playing time as he would in a different set of circumstances. You know, had he been drafted by a different team, he'd be getting more opportunities for sure. And that's part of his story. That's part of his journey. And what I love about James is he understands that and recognizes it and continues to keep a positive spirit and energy. And he works hard every single day, and he's wonderful to coach. So as I've said many times, I'm a huge fan. And however this plays out, we don't know, but I hope I get to continue to coach him, and I hope that he can develop here and get more opportunities as we go forward.
So I thought I heard him kind of slip up and admit that he might not be with this team for long. I think the Bulls make perfect sense for Wiseman, A, because the salaries match up for Caruso, B, because the Bulls will likely lose Vucevic, and they're going to need someone to fill that hole at the center position. And Alex Caruso, I think, would be a great fit for the simple reason that at 6'5", he's practically a power forward under any system that Steve Kerr runs. He's clearly is done with bigs, right? So 6'5" is almost like a wing slash stretch four. Alex Caruso is a fantastic defender. Fantastic. He almost makes up 100% for Gary Payton II. And what I see with the Warriors over and over, their struggles is defense and the fact that they have like they're 27th in the NBA in points given up, yet they're second in scoring. So whatever decision you make, like, I agree, get the big. I really, that's obvious. I was fighting for that last year, and I felt like I just had to throw up the white flag for wanting that because I don't think they're ever going to do that again. But Alex Caruso gives you that defender that you can literally just have him defend the opponent's best player, and then your offensive players can worry about scoring, right? It relieves so much burden, and this team needs defense so bad that I would personally welcome Alex Caruso. And offensively, he doesn't need the ball. Like, Dante DiVincenzo is almost like a point guard, right? He's got tremendous handles. He can run your offense. Where Alex Caruso is not that type of player offensively. He's more comfortable just being where he needs to be, setting screens. He also shoots 39% from beyond the arc. So I'm an Alex Caruso proponent. He's got world championship experience. I'm all for it, but that's me. I don't know. Any final thoughts, Kylan, as we wrap up?
My thought is just then, whose minutes does Caruso take from Anthony Lamb, the Warriors guards? I mean, his skill set isn't the same as Anthony Lamb, though. Like, Caruso, they've been putting Lamb in at the four. I mean,
yeah. I think Caruso would literally do that a lot of the time. Like, Caruso's not a shooting guard, even though he's 6'5". He plays much bigger than the way he looks. Like, I could see the Warriors throwing him in there and having him guarding like power forwards. And it's, I don't know. That's, I could see that. And again, you're only playing him for like 20, 25 minutes. So Jordan Poole is clearly maybe Poole's minutes. I don't know. Right. I mean, Jordan Poole is like certainly not like earning himself any favors with the team, but I don't know. I just know this team needs defense, and I would certainly take him. Certainly, I would put him in there over Lamb. I would put him in there maybe at this point over Jordan Poole. I don't know, but I do think there's room for him. Is that your issue with him primarily? Is that you just don't think there's a minute?
I just think the Warriors are so guard heavy, and I don't see Caruso being able to play the four. Like, I just don't. And then my question is just, you know, whose minutes does he take? I mean, that's the only thing. I like Alex Caruso, not to say that he wouldn't help. I just think the Warriors are guard heavy. And then you mentioned playing him over Poole. Is that going to be the right move? I mean, I don't see him
as a guard, though. That's where we differ. I don't really see. He's more of a three who can sometimes play four in this ridiculously diminutive lineup that Kerr loves, you know? I mean, Caruso and Lamb are almost the exact same size. They don't look it, but they are. It's weird. I'm just saying if that's the player, because otherwise, I mean, if these reports are true, the Warriors are looking at him, right? I mean, so I that's what I can imagine. I don't know. It's either Anthony Lamb, who does not have a guaranteed deal. His time is almost up with his team anyways. Or Jordan Poole. Those are the two players I could see him filling in for at times, you know, or, you know, if they're resting players like Clay on a back-to-back, Caruso gets heavy minutes on a night like that. I don't know, but they need defense. What I'm strongly advocating for is they need defense. They are a horrible defensive team. Again, they're like 18th or 19th in efficiency, 27th in points given up. That's just awful. Teams don't win world championships with defense like that. So that's where I'm coming from. I don't know. Any last thoughts? Because we don't want.
No, I mean, you're right. I just was looking it up because I was like, dude, Anthony Lamb seems so much bigger than Caruso. It's only an inch in height, but there also are 41 pound difference between the two. So I think that's why Lamb seems so much bigger, is because he's got so much more strength on him. But, you know, we'll have to see. Like I said, I just would be surprised if the Warriors make any kind of trade move. Like, I really will. Like, not to say they aren't testing the waters, but if they go through with it, I will be surprised if they make any major moves. I do think the Wiseman situation is interesting. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But, you know, I'm on the same page as you in that I don't think he's helping anyone by sitting on the bench. I also don't think it, you know, someone mentioned in the chat, well, going to the G League isn't going to help his trade value, but like, either just getting DNPs every night. So, you know, I guess I'm just curious as to what the game plan is with Wiseman, which, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Yeah, I would play Wiseman over Lamb. I mean, that goes without saying, though. But I don't get it. And the way he's being treated is why I'm sensing trade. Could be wrong, but you know, there's a lot of reports coming out now, and he seems to be the odd man out, you know, of those three lottery picks. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Again, we're going to the Krug Show, so everyone migrate over there. We'll continue the party for a little while longer. Kylan, thanks as always. Happy weekend. Happy Warriors victory. Happy Friday night. And the Warriors will finish up on this note. Next play, a team that I did not expect to be like right in the thick of things, but they are. And that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Warriors start a three-game swing, road swing. Your thoughts on that? The Thunder, by the way, I believe are a game behind the Warriors right now. Your thoughts as we wrap it up.
Big, 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 big road swing. Oh, by the way, I heard the Memphis Grizzlies lost tonight.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. Steven Adams. Right. Who knew? Who knew? Steven Adams. That's the impact of losing.
I just like to laugh about that. I tweeted out the Ja Morant, I'm fine in the West clip. So I'm just enjoying, you know, a little bit. I mean, here's the thing. Ja talks smack. You got to be able to take it back. It's all in good fun. Whatever. But I just want to mention that. Warriors won. Grizzlies lost.
Warriors
face OKC. Huge road trip. They need to come out. I want to say that I want them to take two or three, because right now is the time the Warriors need to make a jump in the standings. Like, they need to get themselves into a playoff position, lock that in, and then kind of just cruise down the stretch. So I'd like to see them really make a move now while they're playing well, they're playing hot, keep everybody healthy, and then, you know, kind of just cruise into the postseason. But you've got to get out of the play-in. You've got to get out of the play-in. You've got to get into, like I said, I ideally would like to see them get into like a four spot, but
I hope
get out of the play-in.
Wholeheartedly agree with you. And right now they're currently seventh. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can follow Kylan Mills on social media platforms at Kylan Mills. You can follow the program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. And again, we're going to join Larry Kruger and his band of misfits for a few minutes. So join us there. Otherwise, have a great weekend, everyone.